Kind Father, I love you. I bless you. I magnify you. I adore you. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for keeping me and guiding me. I thank you for blessing us to make it to this time of the day, to make it to this time of the season, to get to this time of the service, God. I ask that something that is said here be beneficial, be uplifting, be allowing somebody just to go on and do what you've called them to do, to propel us into our destiny. God, I don't want them to hear me or see me, but again, I want them to see you, God. I want everything to be God sent and God said and God spoken, God, with your power. The Holy Spirit just rest, rule, and abide in my heart and my life and my mind. If there's anything that's not like you inside of me, cleanse me, Lord, so I may be able to be a pure vessel for you, to be used by you. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Good morning, City Reach Church and the world. Thank you once again for joining with us as we continue with our final, I believe, our final sermon in the series we started this week, this month, called Greater Reward, where God has something greater for us if we just strive for to do what's right, strive for not just do what's easy or what's now, but let's try to strive to do what's for the better, what's for the greater good for all of us, so we are able to do what God has called us to do. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be, you might be by yourself. Sometimes it might be difficult, it might get lonely, but I just want you to strive for it, to let you know that God has something greater for us and we can do it. We can be powerful. We can be effective and we can do what God's called us to do if we just don't give up. So this is my last week and I'm going to tell us just the don't give up. I might tell us to you throughout this year, don't give up. No matter how hard it might be, don't give up. Stay disciplined, because we talked about that the first week. You know, it takes discipline and takes training. We talked about that last week. But stay disciplined into the area that God has called you to, because it can be a success. And if you stay disciplined, you can do what successful people do. Successful people do consistently what others do occasionally.
That's good.
So in order to stay disciplined, in order to be a success, you need to do the same things that we do, that successful people do consistently, that other people do occasionally. I just don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. So my emotions are going to govern what I think or what I do or how I react or what I do with my life. But it takes consistency and do that and stay disciplined. And you can do what God's called you to do and you will be successful. You can be successful. I'm speaking to a success looking at me through the lens right now. You are a success. I speak that over your life right now. You are a success. I got a couple other quotes that I want to share with you to help you perpetuate and help you to help you to go forth and go on to do what God's called you to do. Successful people are not gifted. They just work hard and they succeed on purpose. Successful people are not gifted. They just work hard then succeed on purpose. Take, for example, Michael Jordan. When he first started playing basketball, he got cut from his high school team, but he didn't give up. He just worked harder that next year. And from that point on, he never got cut again. He works harder. And that way, and you succeed on purpose. You too can be a success. Don't give up. At your first setback, don't get up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep going and do what God's called you to do. It's not going to be easy. And sometimes you get a better reward when the things are not easy. That way you appreciate it more. That way you know when you have a setback, when you have somebody fighting against you, especially when the enemy is fighting against you, because he knows that you have something greater that's going to be beneficial to God's kingdom and detrimental to his. So he's going to try to do everything he can. He's going to pull up all his tricks, all his stops to try to stop you and try to deter you from doing what God has called you to do. So don't be deterred. Be determined and do what God's called you to be. Amen? Another thing, a diamond is merely a lump of coal that did well under pressure. A diamond is merely a lump of coal that did well under pressure. We've seen coal and it's ugly, it's just black, it's sooty, but you put that coal under pressure and as much pressure that it gets, it becomes a pure diamond. And the value is, it was born a coal, or was, you know, started out as a piece of coal, a lump of coal, but under pressure, it becomes a valuable gem that people want to put up on display. People want to wear around their necks. People want to put on their fingers. You got this one rapper wants to put it in his forehead. But a diamond is basically just a lump of coal that did well under pressure. Another one. Nothing is impossible. Say that again. Nothing is impossible, because the word itself just says I'm possible. Huh. Audrey Hepburn said that.
I like that.
Nothing is impossible, because the word itself is spelled I'm possible. Let me play on the word. So if you see, you come across something that you think is impossible, reverse that and put an apostrophe in it. I am possible.
Yes, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Just, you don't take anything else I tell you today. Just think, I am possible. When you're faced with the impossibilities of life, or somebody telling you, no, you're going to lose that job, you're going to lose that inheritance, you're going to lose that position or that car or whatever, and say it's impossible to do what you want to do, just say, I am possible. Because you have the I am that lives inside of you. It makes all things possible. Another one, we talked about that, you know, we talked about training. And we talked about staying disciplined. Last week, we talked about training and not trying. Trying is just like, I do it when I want to do it. I do this. Trying is just, it gives you opportunity for failure. It gives opportunity to give up. But training is consistent. Training is, I'm going to do this whether I feel it or not, whether I want to or not. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to have some accountability, and I'm going to do it if I feel it or not. That's part of training. And the opposite of that is trying. And the great philosopher, Homer Simpson, says, trying is the first step towards failure. The donut eating Homer Simpson always comes up with a gem here every now and again. Trying is the first step toward failure. Who would have thought you'd come to church and hear about Homer Simpson?
Or failure.
Homer Simpson, trying, first step towards failure. Think about that. You don't want to be like Homer. All right. So everything you do, we have to do it on purpose. Everything that we accomplish, we have to do it on purpose. You can't just think about something that you want to do. Like I said before, I think I want to be a CEO. I think I want to be a great philosopher. I think I want to be a great musician. I think I want to be in shape. But you just got to do the work. You can't just think about it. You just can't have the intent. Oh, I meant to do this. Or I meant to do that. You meant to do not this. It's just, there's no backing beyond that. There's no action beyond that, because that's just your intention. And intentions don't determine directions. Actions do. I can intend to go this way. I can intend to do that. But if I don't get up and do anything, I'm still stuck where I'm at. And I don't determine my direction. I'm not going anywhere. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Yes.
Not the standing of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Come on.
In order to get to where God's called you to be and have your steps ordered, you need to take some action. You need to do something. Make those determined steps towards the goal that God's had for you. Take intended steps. Amen? It's the small things, and you got to do that at all times, even when you feel like it, even when you don't, because it's the small things that no one sees that leads to the big results that everybody wants. One of my best friends in school, Scott Ames, just put you out there. Great basketball player. But he spent hours and hours just perfecting his shot, perfecting his layups, perfecting his hands, his dribbles and things like that. He spent hours and hours playing a sport. So he became great at it. Even to the point where we were playing, and he was a left-handed player, to the point where he came and he actually, I think, twisted or broke or sprained his left hand, or left arm, so he couldn't use it. But he didn't stop. He started playing with his right hand. So that meant he got good with his right hand. So by the time he healed the left hand, the right hand was just as strong as his left hand. So everybody that knew him, left foot, to, you know, we know to, you know, to defend him on the left-hand side. But he was switched up on us, and he was switched on playing on the right-hand side. So we couldn't stop him because he was just as good on either side of the court as he was on the left side, on his dominant hand. So it's those small things, those small times that nobody sees. You know, Michael Jordan's another one. He would stay hours after a practice and just work on his foul shots. Because that way he knew at the end of the game when he's tired, he's worn out, and he gets put on the line, he can still make the shots because he's practiced that. Steph Curry is another one. He shoots for hours and hours and hours. So that when he comes game time, it's just second nature. Because he spent that time. So even with God, in our prayer time, we spend so much time praying and for the little things and praying for this time. You know, he's praying all the time, just praying, thank you, Jesus, or, you know, just talking to God. So when trials come, you don't have to worry about where is Jesus.
Huh, come on.
Or how to get to him. Or where is he at today? Because you spent so much time with him. You know where he is. And all you got to do is to say, Jesus, and he's there to help you. You don't have to go back and repent. Oh, God, I know it's been so long. You know, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. It's been 3 years since my last confession. Last time I took a candy bar. And, you know, you don't have to do all that. If you spend this quality time, those little times.
Quality
time. It's not the quantity that matters. It's the quality that matters.
Yes, come on.
And God wants to spend quality time with you. He wants your best, not the rest. So spend those little times because that determines brings out the best results that everybody wants. So when it's time for you to shine, you know, they can't get there because the road you took. In order for them to get to where you are, you have to take the same road. They can't walk in your shoes. Take those times by yourself. Don't fret those times of humble beginnings. Don't fret those times of being alone by yourself. Use those times to spend time with God. So God, what do you want me to do? How can I take this loss and turn it into a lesson? How can I take this time of being lonely and just use it for time to be alone with you? And not just be, you know, because it's different between being lonely than being alone. Because you can be lonely by, you know, lonely for companionship, lonely for love, but you can never be alone as long as you have God in your heart, you have God in your life. Galatians, the sixth chapter, verse 7, it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Let's think about that. Don't be misled. God, you cannot mock the justice of God because what you sow is what you reap. It's a little bit like the version we read today. What you harvest is what you plant. I can't plant oranges and expect apples to grow. Right? That's just not lawful. It's just not the way God works. It's not the way things work. I can't plant negative thoughts and expect something good to come out. I can't not plant and just take and expect to receive something in the meantime at the end of it because you didn't deposit anything. I can't go to the bank and say I want my $1 million if you don't have anything in the bank to deposit that you deposited. Make sense? Mm-hmm. What you harvest is what you plant. You harvest what you plant. You harvest what you plant. For example, the oranges. I could put the orange seed in the ground and cultivate it. And out of the ground comes an orange tree. And then you keep planting the seeds and keep planting the harvest, and it keeps multiplying. That's the way God works. He multiplies. And before you know it, you have a whole orange patch, orange
orchard.
I can't think of the word because I don't plant oranges. Before you know it, you have a company, Sunkist, and you could just make money off of what you planted, off of the seeds you plant. You can live off of what you've planted. You can live by what you've planted. You can eat off of what you've planted. If you cultivate those things, if you plant those things in faith, plant those things and cultivate them, and spend time watering them, spend time fertilizing them, spend time getting the weeds out and making sure the birds and everything don't come and take over. Make sure they not get diseased or anything like that. Make sure the seeds stay healthy, the plants stay healthy. And you water them at the due time and allow the sun to come in at the due time. So, and what you get is like what you plant. What you plant is what you get is what you plant. What you get is what you plant. Make sense? What you get is what you plant. Mm-hmm. I can't speak negative over my children and expect them to appreciate me when they grow older. Mm-hmm. Or I can't speak neglect my children and expect them to appreciate me or look out for me when I'm older. You know, my children become up to be a rich millionaire or famous, something like that. And if I don't spend any time in planting seeds inside those the minds and those spirit of those child and expect her to thank me on the Grammys, on the Emmys when they win. You know, I thank my mom, I thank my dad, if you don't spend any time. Make sense? And on the flip side, like, even if you're like, so that's planting seeds, or it applies to life. If you're at your job, you have a job and you hate your job. And everybody knows it. And you're late for work all the time. You show up with a bad attitude. There's no commitment. And you can't expect to get a raise. You can't expect to get promoted. When the boss comes looking for opportunities to promote someone, they're going to overlook you because you overlooked that job. You didn't take the job as a seed. Sometimes our jobs that we're working at may not be all that we want. Maybe just a job, but it might be our mission field. Mm-hmm. And God has planted us there in our mission field to do the work that God's called us to do.
Yes.
Sometimes the jobs we are not just a position, but our assignment. And God has assigned us there for a reason. So it behooves us to be the best that we can until these times will move us and harvest us somewhere else. Maybe you have your own position. Maybe you have your own company. And then you appreciate those times spent working in the fields. You appreciate those times spent working for somebody else when you can be appreciative boss or CEO because you know what it was like to work for somebody else. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Right. Also, I can't eat anything that I want at any time that I want and not spend any time working out. I'm talking to myself right now. And not spend any time making myself healthy, not drinking enough water. One bottle of these a day does not cut it, as my wife told me this morning. She's rolling her eyes at me right about now. I can't expect that, you know, not to drink enough water to take care of my body and expect not to get yelled at when you go to the doctor's office. I'll go to the doctor's office, Dr. Saw, whatever, the doctor would yell at me, Keith, drink water. You're that, you're just too, you know. You got to do right in the little times. You got to do right daily. Be committed. Be consistent to get that water to work. Excuse me. So you can't eat anything and do what you want and not exercise and expect not to gain weight, expect not to get sick or even worse. Got to take care of, because the body, we've been planted in our bodies. So it behooves us, if God has planted you in your jobs, God has planted you to do different things to make, it gives us the ability to create wealth, but he's also planted us inside these bodies. It behooves us to treat these bodies well as well. Treat these bodies right as well. Make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you too. So you harvest what you plant. Hosea 10th chapter says, I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the herd, the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. But you have cultivated wickedness and harvested a thriving crop of sins. You have eaten the fruit of lies, trusting in your military might, believing that great armies can make your nation safe. I'll read that last verse again, because when I read this, and I was like, whoa. You know, should I read the whole thing again? I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. But here's the thing. But you have cultivated wickedness. You thrived on wickedness, and you harvested a thriving crop of sins. You have eaten the fruit of lies, trusting in your military might, believing that great armies can make your nation safe. Built up these armies. You built up these walls of defensive. You built this great wall, thinking that that's going to make you safe. But it's not by power, not by might, but it's by his spirit, says the Lord.
Yeah.
God is your safe. God is your safety. God is your shuckler, your shield and your buckler. He's your covering. You can try to get as much powerful as you will within this whole sinful nature, the sinful world, and there's no power in that.
Right.
God has all power. I could do with, you know, anything that I want. God knows my heart. Wrong. You harvest what you plant. Another one. This is how God works. You harvest more than you plant. You harvest more than you plant. I think I've told some of you before about 10 years ago, when we first got this house. My son came home from summer school. And he says he was so excited that he had this plant that he was taking home from school that he harvested, that he planted from a seedling, and he wanted to plant it in my, I want to plant it at your house, Dad. I want to plant it in your garden. He said, what is it? It's a sunflower. It's a pumpkin. It's a sunflower. It's a pumpkin. It's a sunflower. It's a pumpkin. Which one is it, Chris? It's a sunflower. It's a pumpkin. Okay. It's a seed or whatever. I said, all right, I'll be the good dad. You know, I'll be like the good dad, like, you know, that one politician said, but I'm not going to mention his name. I'm going to be a good dad and plant what my son has harvested throughout the school year. And I planted this plant into the ground and to the flower bed right by my back door. A few months later, a pump comes up. The sunflower plant comes up. I'm like, wow. That's huge. That's good. Good job, son. All of a sudden, then I've seen these green vines come up and it starts to overtake everything that's in the flower bed, including my mother's Hofstra's. It's starting to strangle itself around the Hofstra's. It's starting to strangle itself around the cable wire. It's starting to grow all over the place. And before you know it, here comes a little pumpkin. And then another pumpkin. And then another pumpkin. We had like 5-6 pumpkins. And it's one sunflower. And the pumpkins grew to a nice size. So by Halloween, we actually had a harvest of pumpkins from this one plant. And it overtook everything. And let me tell you right now, don't grow pumpkins in your house or around your house, because they will overtake anything. They are rude, rude plants. We found them in the wall when we had to do some renovations around the house. And that was years later. That was this year. This happened, planted out 10 years ago. That's how these things multiply. They don't die, they multiply. And sometimes our sins are like that. Our sins don't die, they multiply. But also the things that we do for God doesn't die, it multiplies. Yeah. You can plant a good word into somebody's life.
don't let it go. You know, think about it years later to come back to you. You remember when that time when you told me this and God did it just like you said he would. And what you plant, God multiplies. That's the way he works. What you plant and you give it back to him, he multiplies. We plant our seeds, we plant our offerings, and God multiplies. We plant our seeds and, you know, we plant our, listen, God multiplies. Jesus had a parable of the farmer scattering seed where a farmer scatters seed of different types of grounds, and some grew up to be like on rocky ground, and it got strangled by the rocks. It just died. He threw in this open area, and the sun came and wilted it down, and it burned it up. And then some grew around thorns and things like that, and the thorns came like a pumpkin and strangled it, and the flower and the plant couldn't grow to be what it's supposed to be. But then some fell on good ground, and it grew up and it multiplied. And that's what God wants to do with us in our hearts. That's what I'm hoping to do in your heart, the seed that I'm putting into your heart. I hope it finds itself planted in good ground and that God multiplies it. And at the end of that parable, Mark 40th, the fourth chapter, the 20th verse says, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Because what you plant, God multiplies. And all you need to do, your job, is to plant the seeds. One man plants, Paul says, another Apollos waters, but God gets the increase. You do your job, you plant your seeds, and do what God's called you to do, and God's going to get the increase. You might reap a benefit of it. You may not, but that's just do what God's called you to do. And plant those seeds and keep going. Be consistent with it. Work that thing. Because if you don't like what you're reaping, you got to change what you're sowing. So if every time I turn around, it's always bad news, or every time I turn around, it's always negative, or I'm always losing this, or I'm always thinking this, or I'm always thinking something's impossible. Stop planting that seed and start planting the seeds of I'm possible. Start planting seeds of you are a winner. Look yourself in the mirror every morning. You are a winner. You are God's chosen vessel. You are God's anointed vessel. You can be. You are great. You are powerful. You got everything that God's called you to be. You will get there. Before you know it, you're going to walk in that thing. You're going to walk boldly. You're going to walk with joy. You're going to walk just like, you know, nothing's going to get me down because I know who I am in God. I know who I am in Christ. If I identify with Jesus, I don't longer see me. I see him that lives inside of me. Yes. Amen? Amen. So you harvest what you plant. You harvest what more than you plant because God multiplies. But also you harvest after you plant, which is in different seasons. Because you don't plant right now and expect tomorrow to reap a harvest of blessings or to reap a harvest of oranges and have an orchard. You don't plant, you know, $1 right now and expect to have $1 million by tomorrow. It has to have time to multiply. It's in the different seasons that God allows the increase to happen. He makes those things work at the different seasons. There's a time for giving. There's a time for losing. There's a time for gain and toss for loss. There's a time for everything. In life, we all have our seasons. We all go through seasons. Even now, we're in a season of winter, and some people might be sick of snow or sick of the bad weather and ice and slipping and sliding. And people, you know, but we all go through our different seasons. Allow God to be the faith, because the God that leads us through the summer is the same God that's going to lead us through the winter of our lives. So allow those times and don't get discouraged. Right. Don't get discouraged because you don't see quick results. Don't get discouraged when you don't see quick results, because sometimes those long lasting results are better for you. We are so used to now today living in the microwave generation where you put things in the microwave and a minute later it comes out a full meal. But sometimes, like I said before, I don't know why I'm back here again, but I love those crock pot meals. When you put those things in hours later, you just be able to feast on that meal for days. little hint. That's what I'm just saying. When we get our kitchen redone, we're finished. We get a crock pot meal. You come home from work and it's just like, the scent just like attacks you, just like overtakes you when you walk in the door. It's like, I'm home. And the crock pot's like, welcome. I'm like, thank you. I'll eat you right now. And it's just like, yes. That's how God's blessings are in our due seasons. Don't get discouraged when it doesn't happen right away. But in due season, you're going to reap a harvest of blessings. Yes. Because here, our life, our entire life, is a sum total of all the small decisions that we made. Every step that you made, every decision that you made, brought you to the point to the point where you're at right now in your life. Who you married, who you didn't marry, who you got a job, everything, where you went to school, every step was it's brought by where you're at right now is because of the steps that you made in the past. Yeah. Makes sense. So here's the thing. You can either walk by the flesh and be governed by your emotions, governed by the sinful flesh, or you can walk in the spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh and governed by what God has for you. And you'll reap a reward of blessings. At the end of the road of if you live by the flesh and live by your emotions, live by what feels right or what you feel like doing, what everybody else is doing, you're going to reap a reward of curses. So either you're going to, and which leads to death. So either you choose death or you walk the road that chooses life. The choice is yours. Walk after the spirit. And we reap the rewards of his spirit. And then you identify with Jesus that way. I no longer me that's doing this is not longer the sinful me, but it's the Christ that lives inside of me. I identify with Jesus and I can walk into those rewards, that blessing that God has for me. Amen. I mean, we said this last week about training. So we're not trying to train. I'm trying. We're not trying. We're training because I want to choose what's most over what's now. What's better than what's now. I don't want that quick blessing. I don't want that microwave blessing. I want that microwave meal. I want the home cooked, savory crock pot meal that's filling to your soul, sticks to your bones. You can take it to lunch the next day. Yes, God. We ended up again. So Galatians 6 and 9, we read this again. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. Don't get tired of doing what's good just because you don't get a quick result. But at just the right time, you will reap a blessing, a harvest of blessings, yes, if you don't give up. Not just a blessing. You'll reap a harvest of blessings if you don't give up. Yeah. So we're closing up because even when it gets tough, even when things get lonely, even when things get monotonous and you're just doing it by yourself or it's hard, it's tough, it doesn't seem like to be getting any results even, or it gets even boring or it gets tiresome, just keep going because consistency is the key. And even when you don't see immediate results or even if you suffer a setback, just realize that you never lose. We win or we learn. We never lose. And that setback could just be the setup that God has designed to reveal the seeds of your destiny that he has planted in your life. That setback may not be a setback. It may be a setup, a redirection to where God wants you to be and end up because your steps are going to be ordered by him because you're moving. You keep moving consistency. And even when things seem to be falling apart in your life and God could be allowing those things to happen so that when you're actually not falling apart, but just things are just falling together and that's going to produce the greater reward that he has in store for you. God has a greater reward for you if you don't give up doing what's good, if you don't give up doing what's right, if you don't give up don't give in to what feels good, what feels comfortable, or what everybody else is doing. Don't give up doing what's good, and you will reap a greater reward. Jesus came to show us the way. And he lived a life that He could have given up. He could have did what was right, did what was easy and comfortable, but he showed us the way how to do not giving up, to do what's good, even if it led to the cross. But he knew that his life wouldn't end at the cross. The story doesn't end at the cross. The road doesn't end at the cross. The road goes through the cross. And that road through the cross leads to us to salvation and leads to us being united back in contract and back in relationship with God. That's what he wanted from the beginning when he first created us. When he first created this world, he created us to be in unity with him. And because of sin, that road was broken. Because of sin, that communication, that link was broken. But Jesus came to be that link, to be that road back to God. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That leads us to the road of salvation. And we have the ABCs of salvation. A, is acknowledge or admit that we are sinners and need a forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." The ABCs of salvation: acknowledge, believe, and confess. And that leads us back to Christ, leads us back to him, that we can be one with him, we be in union with him. Let's pray this prayer together, Rick, so that God, allow God to come into our hearts, allow God to be in our minds and our souls, so that we may be able to do what's good, we'll be able to do what's right through him and identify with him. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to contact with you. I want to get connected with you. I want to work this thing out together. I need to hear from you. I need you to text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in to ALLIN to 609-831-3377. I love you. Thank you for joining with us. God bless you. Have a great day.